You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Lowe's knows you want the best for dad. This Father's Day, help him take on any project with big deals on DeWalt. Right now, get a free XR 8 amp hour battery when you buy select DeWalt tools. That's not all. Get up to two free select tools when you buy a select DeWalt 20 volt max battery kit. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a work load is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
Hi, I'm Margie Nomura, and welcome to the Desert Island Dishes podcast. This is the podcast where every week I ask my guests to choose their seven Desert Island dishes. These range from finding out about the dish that most reminds them of their childhood, the best dish they've ever eaten, and of course, the last dish they would choose to eat before being cast off to the desert island. The question is, what would you choose as your last meal? Hi, how are you all? I hope you're well and having a good week. We are finally through January, which feels good, doesn't it? I'm very excited to be back in the swing of things with the podcast. Thank you so much for all of your lovely messages and comments about last week's episode with Gwyneth Paltrow. I'm just so pleased everyone enjoyed it so much, and what a very exciting start to the new year. I have a lovely episode for you today with the brilliant Fern. You may know Fern as a reality TV star and TV presenter, so she isn't directly from the world of food, but you will hear that she has a real passion for it, which really comes through, and that always makes my job very fun. She was so open and honest in this conversation, and I really took a lot away from this, so I hope you do too. She's the kind of person who really just makes things happen, and I like that in a person a lot. So without further ado, let's get into today's episode. My guest today is Fern McCann. Fern is a TV presenter, reality TV star, social media sensation, and entrepreneur. She shot to fame on hit reality series The Only Way is Essex, where she quickly became a fan favourite. She's gone on to front her own ITVB series, which ran from 2018 to 2024, and documented her journey into motherhood with her two daughters. Since then, she's graced our screens on shows like I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and Celebrity SAS, Who Dares Wins. She is currently preparing for the next series of Dancing on Ice. Beyond the world of television, she's recently launched Shura, a wellness app designed to promote personal growth and mental health, which Fern has described as her most fulfilling venture to date. She's passionate about food. She made it to the semi-final of Celebrity Best Home Cook, and she says that food is her love language. Welcome, Fern.
Thank you for having me. That was lovely.
Yes.
It was like a this is your life moment. I was getting a little bit emotional then. I was like, wow, when you put it all together, I'm like, actually, like I've done a fair bit.
You've done so much. That was a nutshell. It was actually very hard to write that.
Thank you.
Are you that kind of person that you do sit back and reflect on everything you've done, or are you always looking for the next challenge?
I think it isn't until moments like this, recording podcasts, where you hear it all condensed into one and I'm like, oh, wow. Like, I'm like, actually, I feel really proud of myself. But yeah, I'm definitely someone that needs to have a challenge and a focus in place, because then I just feel like it gives me purpose, especially, this sounds bad, but I'm going to say it, but to have time away from my babies, who I love dearly and they're my absolute world and priority, but I need to have something for me to just just feel like me. Do you know what I mean? And to maintain my sense of identity. So yeah, Dancing on Ice is the next venture.
Are you finding that easier now with your second baby to take time for yourself and realize that it is important to be a person beyond motherhood?
I think with your second child, you've got the t-shirt, you feel more comfortable, and I definitely just felt more at ease with motherhood, and especially I'm in just a completely different place in my life. So yeah, I think you're more easy on yourself when it's like, when it comes to me time and things like that. And with Sunday, it was a completely different experience because I was a single parent with Sunday, whereas now we're in very much a blended family. It's just completely different. Yeah. And I've got like an amazing village around me to allow me to do opportunities like Dancing on Ice. So I feel really lucky.
Whilst many may not know you from being from the world of food, you do have a food business and you've appeared on many cooking competitions. It really is a huge passion of yours, I think, food.
Oh, it's my love language. I'm so excited about doing this podcast because it's one of my most favourite topics of conversation. I used to be a hairdresser, and even on when we was recording TOWIE, like wherever I've been in my life, like when we're in the staff room or breaks in between filming, whatever it's been, I'm always talking about food. My favorite is more hosting, if I'm honest. I think growing up, my parents both individually were amazing cooks. I was so lucky. And that's where my love of food started. Mm. Of course, like food brings back so many memories for me. Yeah. And now I love like reliving all of those memories with my children. Although it is like a dagger to the heart. I don't want to talk about that because my children, Finty, my baby, is actually more of a foodie than Sunday. But Sunday's such a fussy eater. And it honestly breaks my heart because food is a form of love. And when you've spent so much time cooking like healthy, nutritious, and she just like pushes it across the table and has a tantrum, I'm like, oh, it hurts.
It's soul destroying.
Soul destroying.
You described food being your love language, and I'm really interested in love languages. Is that how you also feel love, or is it more how you show love?
It's really interesting you say that because we met with an, so random, intimacy coach.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like I'm going off topic here, but it makes sense. And we discuss love languages because actually you're right, how we give love might not necessarily be how we receive love. And I think definitely cooking for my loved ones is my form of love. Gift giving, the compliments, the touch, all of that. But I think for me, how I give my love, whether it's friends, family, it is through cooking. Mm. It's my biggest pleasure and joy.
There's so much to talk about. But let's dive straight into the first desert island dish. And that's the dish that most reminds you of your childhood.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I think the first thing that springs to mind, and this is definitely going to come up a lot in our conversation, is a roast. Because just going to my grandparents and my nana and my nan and my mum and dad, every Sunday was centered around the roast dinner. And that, to me, just is the first thing that comes into my mind. But one of the main dishes, which is a bit random, is a raclette.
Ooh.
So my dad used to do it. And actually, I think this started my love for, I would call it like social eating. So, you know, you've got guests round and the dinner party or whatever is actually centered around the food. Mm. I know that sounds so obvious, but like the topic of conversation, like interactive eating. And we used to do this all the time. And I think as a child, I loved that sense of independence that we were like cooking. Yeah. It was steak and different meats and then the cheese and asparagus and different vegetables. Just the fact that we were sat around the table interacting with the food. It was just very, very fun.
Also, that's not something that everybody has at home. So that makes it even more fun.
It was very, very cool. I feel like I need to get one. Maybe I'll put it on my Christmas list. Yeah. But my childhood, I really just remember my parents hosting. And I think that's where I started my love for hosting. It was like busy house on a weekend and always centered around food. That was the main event. And my dad would be cooking mussels or homemade chips or curry. Everything was homemade. And I can just remember it being around the kitchen or barbecues and just a lot of fun.
You've said that cooking is one of the ways that you like to relax. And I wondered, from going on shows like Celebrity Best Home Cook, which is so far from relaxing, how do you find that kind of cooking?
That was so stressful.
Was it?
It was so stressful for so many different reasons. I think for me, I was so excited about working with the BBC. It was my first time filming something with them. And, you know, having the opportunity to cook for Angela Hartnett, Mary Berry, it was a dream come true. And I think now, a few years on, my cooking has evolved and my knowledge and confidence has evolved so much. And I think, oh, if I entered that competition and done that show now, I might have got further than the semi-finals. But it was
semi-finals.
It was still good. I think I was in a cook-off with Ed Balls and Rachel Johnson. Now,
of course you were.
Like, they are intelligent individuals, right? And they were just so cool and calm, and they've been cooking for years, and they were both very, very good. And I just lost my head. The reason why was because I so wanted to do well. And I think that's what I'm like with anything that I do. Like, I go fully into it. And I was filming for my reality show at the time, and they were umming and ahhing whether I would even have time to film Best Home Cook. But I was like, please, like, this is one of the best opportunities that has come up. Like, I really want to do it. So I was getting in from Best Home Cook, getting Sunday to bed, practicing my recipes, filming for my reality show. It was a juggle, and it was like really stressful, but so enjoyable. It was one of the best shows, and I learned a lot about cooking as well.
But you can see, even on the MasterChef professionals, and when they do that skill test at the beginning, you get someone who's worked as a head chef for 10 years and they ask them to fillet a chicken and they forget how to do it. It's like the pressure of the situation is so stressful.
Exactly. And it's like super intense environment. And for me, I experienced imposter syndrome in my kitchen. You're right. Like, it is a form of therapy for me. It's the way that I can completely switch off and relax. But then when I'm cooking on Best Home Cook, it was stressful and my mind just went blank, because they do this task where it's a random ingredient. And you know, when you're watching this sort of thing, I remember growing up watching Ready, Steady, Cook, and they empty the bag and you're like, I'd make this and that. And then my mind went blank with so many things. I think one was chickpeas, another was banana. And do you remember the like madness that banana bread had in lockdown?
Yeah.
So they removed all of those ingredients to make banana bread. I think I forgot to turn my oven on. I was like originally starting off making something savory and making plantain. And then I ended up blitzing everything I could find in a blender and making banana protein balls. Then trying to sell.
I was going to say banana soup, but
banana soup. Then I was trying to like justify and sell my banana protein balls to Mary Berry. And I was like, but they're healthy and delicious. It wasn't a good week. That was probably why I got knocked out.
No, that sounds good. So you've been working as a hairdresser for 6 years when you joined The Only Wears Essex, and it was in its 9th series. So it had been going for a few years. Did you know what to expect when you joined, and did the reality live up to what you were thinking?
Yeah, so I joined series 9, and I've said this before, and I know when I say it, and I feel like people be like, oh, like it makes me wince a little bit. I always wanted to be famous. Like, ever since I was a little girl, I was like, oh, I want to be on stage. I wanted to make it to Hollywood. And then I kind of had to settle for reality TV, which is fine. I've got no regrets. But my friends at the time were on the show, and I used to turn up as an extra and like try and get in front of the producers. And this is why I'm just such a big believer in timing, and everything is unfolding exactly as it should for you. And joined series 9. And it was a difficult one because the show, The Only Way is Essex, is all centered around drama. And I knew that. I knew that coming in late. And I knew that you had to almost get involved with the drama to get airtime. So everyone was on this almost like Hunger Games journey of like just getting involved in all the disputes and arguments and controversies to get airtime. So it was like a very weird time for me, because believe it or not, I'm not a confrontational person, but coming on, I had this like weird balance of, oh, but I wanted this. I wanted to be on this show and to be in the public eye and to perform. Like, I was a class clown. I loved making people laugh. And I always wanted to be a performer. I always wanted to act. And so that it was this weird blur between reality and what was real life. And it was very surreal being that young and then watching what your friends or your fellow cast members or even like your boyfriend would be saying about you 2 days after.
Yes.
It was weird.
Really strange. And how did you handle that?
Oh, it was a tough time. And I hate saying that because I genuinely have no regrets because I feel like TOWIE was a wonderful springboard onto the jungle. And I really sat and just prayed and manifested, like, how can I get out of this vicious circle? Although I have many fond memories of The Only Way is Essex, and I'm not slamming it at all because it was great, great times. But for me personally, I was in a really dark place and I ended up being a replacement for someone in the jungle who didn't pass one of the tests.
Okay.
And I'm so into like the law of attraction and the power of prayer. And I just visualized myself in the hammock. Oh, what would it be like being on that show as a young girl? And then I've always been someone that's just said yes to stuff. So 1 year when I was doing press for TOWIE, again, I was a replacement. The PR rang me up and said, one of the girls have dropped out. Will you do it? They're, you know, whatever, haven't got out of bed. So I was like, yeah, I'll do it. Hungry for the opportunities. And I ended up meeting one of the execs and producers because Joey Essex was doing The Jungle that year. And it just so happens that they come into the room that we was doing the press. And then I was just chatting to them, you know, just got in front of them and was having a good conversation and reeling off my knowledge of the own, of I'm a Celeb. And then I got the call the year after, 2 weeks later, flew out to The Jungle. And that really, really changed my life forever. So I feel... yeah, it was just such an amazing moment.
I love stories like that. You do have to take opportunities as they come and you just never know when they're going to present themselves. Like,
so
you say,
true.
Just a random meeting with those execs and maybe you would have got the chance a few years later, but you made that happen.
And don't get me wrong, like, there's moments where I'm like, oh, life can be a roller coaster full of ups and downs. But I know it's such a cliche thing to say, but when one door closes, another one opens. And it's talking true. Of the jungle and cooking, I was the cook in there.
Oh, were you?
So that was a real experience, cooking rice and beans and trying to like make them different when you've got hungry, hungry campmates. But I was... how old was I? I was 25 at the time, cooking over a fire for 12 people. It was amazing.
Yeah. What was the weirdest like meat you had to cook?
I can't remember. I'm going to say like...
because there's quite a lot of pressure if you mess it up when everyone's that hungry.
Why do I want to say raccoon? It wasn't a raccoon.
Maybe it was.
No, maybe it
was. I guess like no one knows what it's meant to taste like.
No, no. Anything was better than rice and beans. Very bland.
Let's talk about the second desert island dish. What was the first dish you learned to cook?
A roast dinner. So for me, I was... always in the kitchen with my mum, with my sister, and she taught us how to cook a roast. And I feel like if you can master a roast dinner, because it's stressful with the timings, then I feel like you can try and attempt anything. For me, I know it sounds really cocky, but I can cook a roast dinner with my eyes closed.
Really?
And I love it. I absolutely...
what's your speciality?
Love it. Roast chicken. Like, I don't want to make it stressful.
No.
I like to keep it simple. Like, you can still make... in fact, I'm looking behind you at Julius Roberts' book, and I have been loving his tarragon chicken with the cream. Oh my goodness, it's like fail-proof and such a crowd pleaser. But I always make my Yorkshire puddings, even now Sundays, like getting into it, making them with me. I'm always like trying to make a twist. I'm big on sides, so I do the same every Sunday, if I'm honest.
So do you have Yorkshire puddings regardless of the meat?
Yeah, and I know it's controversial, but I also am going to have them on Christmas Day as well. So yes, because my daughter is fussy and she would be upset if they weren't served on with a Sunday roast.
Have you ever had a Yorkshire pudding, but as a pudding, like as a sweet?
No.
Because I, one of the like really formative memories I have is watching Nigella make a Yorkshire pudding and then she covered it in cream and golden syrup.
Oh. Yeah. Come on.
I know.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
It's like a big giant pancake.
Yummy.
It's like a Dutch baby pancake, I guess.
Yum. Yeah. Delish.
Maybe one to try. You mentioned that you'd always dreamt about being famous. And I'm really curious, when it did eventually happen, did it feel really exciting? Or did you ever have a moment of it kind of being like the genie coming out of the bottle and you're on this roller coaster and there's no going back? Did it ever feel scary?
Many times it's felt super scary. And I've always felt like, be careful what you wish for.
Okay.
Because I think I've had my ups and downs, but I have no regrets and I can't imagine my life without cameras. But, you know, everything comes with a price and everyone's got parts of their job that they aren't fond of.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think being in the public eye, it has a ripple effect. Especially when it comes to family, I've got a really tight family. So when you've had moments of successes and everyone celebrates and it's really, really fun and it's like a full family affair, especially with Dancing on Ice, my whole family are buzzing. But then, of course, when you have moments in the press where it's like, oh, the other day there was like a fake story and you've got family members texting saying, is this true? They're the more difficult sides. Yes. But listen, I'm not complaining.
Since He Only Wears Essex, you've done various TV shows which have all had a competitive element. You've done Celebrity SAS Who Dares Wins. You made it to the final. You made it to the semi-final of Celebrity Best Home Cook. And then you got third place in I'm a Celebrity. And it struck me that every project you undertake, you do seem to excel at it. Like, is that in your nature that if you're going to do something, you're really going to give it your all and you want to be the best?
Yeah, I feel like I've almost got a point to prove.
Okay.
And especially coming from a reality background, I get it. People are like, oh, what talent have you got? And we're even joking on Dancing on Ice when we're filming our VTs. You've got Sir Steve Redgrave and he's filming his VT on a rowing boat. You've got Anton Ferdinand, who's played for West Ham, so he's at the football ground. And then we were laughing with the producers. There's me in my wardrobe, like pulling out a dress. Sort of like taking a selfie and I'm like, I've got so much more to give. I really have. But I know people like don't want to admit this, but I am competitive.
I know, that was one of my questions. Why is that an embarrassing thing to say?
I don't know.
It's not.
Yeah.
It feels like it's one of those things you kind of want to keep a secret. But why?
I don't know. I don't want to win for myself. I like winning as a team. Like, and I think it goes back to like having that point to prove.
Well, you want to feel like you did the best that you could do.
Exactly. And look, like if we really dive into it, maybe I just want to be loved and like want to be valued. And I think it's the same with food as well. Mm. When I'm cooking for people and they're like, oh, fan, that was the best dish. I'm like, give me more compliments, please. No, but I think
it feels good.
It does. And whatever I do, I'm going to try my absolute best. Know that I'm going to give it my absolute all, whether it's joining you and your podcast and prepping for this or giving birth or SAS. I'm going to be doing my research and just trying to deliver my best, whatever I do.
You say you have no talent, which I think is very modest because you obviously have a lot. One of my questions was, you started in beauty pageants and you came, were you in?
No, right. Oh. No.
This,
I haven't been able to get away. I would love
to
find.
You came number 15.
No, I genuinely do not know where this come from.
Really?
Now, every show and podcast that I do, people are like, you done beauty pageants. And I'm like, I don't know if it's something that The Only Way Is Essex Press put out. And
but
was like,
there are worse things you could be.
I know. And it's fine. But
you came
number
15.
No, I did. I'm like, this is so embarrassing because when is the point where I'm like, that's not true.
Fern, this is the moment. Set the record straight.
Okay, I'm looking down the lens. I've never entered beauty pageants. And also, like, I'm not that sort of girl. Even though I know I said I wanted to be famous, but...
Are we also saying, if you had have done, you would have come higher than 50?
I would have at least got in the semi-finals. Come on. But no, I feel like a jack of all trades, master of none. I mean, if I did enter a beauty pageant... Yeah. I can hold a tune as well.
Well, I was going to ask, like, yeah. So Miss Congeniality, you know, you have to do a talent.
Yes.
What would it be singing?
I would be singing whilst meditating and cooking you a roast dinner.
Oh, okay.
Come on, yeah. Triple fret.
Yeah, sorry. You're coming higher than 15 for sure. We're going to talk about the third desert island dish. What's the best dish you've ever eaten?
Okay, so we were in the Maldives for an amazing family holiday with our children, and it's very close to Sri Lanka. Mm. Not that I've been there, but I was going and having breakfast every morning and just said to the amazing chefs at the resort, just make me something that is authentic and that you guys eat. And they made me something called hoppers, which is like the rice paper, but it was pink because they added beetroot to stain the rice paper. So I then tried to research how I could make it, but I gave up because you need a certain type of bowl. So I'm guessing, like, imagine making a pancake and you sort of, they make a nest and it's a bowl. Am I explaining this?
Yes,
well,
you are.
Yeah. And then they cracked an egg in, and it was this gorgeous, topped with gorgeous spicy coconut sambal. And it was really simple, even though I know it's probably very difficult to make, but it was just beautiful. I love anything with fresh, authentic flavors and color. So that was, yeah, something just sprung to my mind this morning.
That sounds amazing. You've been in the jungle on I'm a Celebrity. So I was wondering, what's the opposite to that question? What's the worst thing you've ever eaten?
A spider.
No fun.
The spider.
No
yeah.
fun.
No.
No. But are you okay with spiders and all of those things? Like, was that a worry?
It made it worse.
Okay, yeah.
To the point where now, you know, with our children, it's all about learned behaviour. Now Sunday is terrified of spiders. Oh, but fun. I did it because, you know, I
you
stepped up to the challenge. And also I was in the final three, and it was to win my other campmates, Vicky Patterson and George Shelley, their meals.
Okay,
you know, like at the end, you have to pick like whatever you want to eat. Yeah. So yeah, it was horrendous. Absolutely horrendous.
I'm very impressed.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think that's like,
I don't know why I'm saying it like, thank you. That is
an Oscar award winning speech.
One of my biggest achievements.
And talking of I'm a Celebrity, what was the first meal that you had when you got out of there? Because you are so rationed with what you can eat. I was thinking actually that's kind of like a desert island dishes question. What was the first dish you chose to eat after you got out of there?
It was very carby.
Oh no.
So I was just like ordering everything off the menu. It was just a club sandwich and chips with like loads of sauce. I know, done well.
Yeah.
We can't knock it.
No.
But yeah, all the sauce. I'm the condiment queen.
Oh, are you?
Like the top of my fridge and the whole fridge door. And I've got two cupboards. It's just filled with condiments. So I like a lot of sauce. Whatever.
What's
I'm
the
eating.
Number one?
Wow, that's a really tough question. I think a really good...
We ask hard-hitting questions on this
podcast.
Yeah,
that's really tough. I think a really good homemade burger sauce. Got to have lots of gherkins in. I love a homemade Caesar dressing.
Yeah.
And I love making my own dressings. Mouth is salivating. I love horseradish. I also, again, I know it's controversial, but love mixing sauces depending on the meat. I don't care. And I don't judge. But
no, there are no rules.
I don't accept ketchup. If someone's asking for ketchup when they're coming for a roast dinner, I know, I'm sorry, that's really judgmental. But if you want to have horseradish with your roast chicken, I don't care.
Okay.
If you want to have mint sauce with your beef, fine.
But you've got it in for ketchup.
I draw the line.
Yeah. Are you offended if someone adds salt to your food?
Absolutely not.
No.
My food is seasoned well.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be offended, no.
Because, you know, there are some restaurants where there's no salt and pepper on the table anymore.
Really?
Yeah, and it's sort of like a thing that they're presenting it to you perfectly seasoned,
right.
So you shouldn't have to add anything. Yeah. I just wondered if that was...
No, I wouldn't be offended.
No.
I would be offended about the ketchup, though. Would you get offended about the salt and pepper thing?
No, I'm quite hard to offend. But I do think it's weird when people do that when they haven't tasted it.
Tried it.
Like,
good
that's
point.
Weird. I yeah. might have made it really salty and now you're adding loads
yeah,
of salt.
And you're going to spoil it.
But I think that's a generational thing.
Yeah, just like get the salt on 100%.
I don't think younger people do that.
No.
Of all the things you've done, you describe making it to the final of Celebrity SAS Who Dares Wins as the most challenging thing you've ever done. What was it that made that so challenging?
Yeah, it was up there with giving birth.
Really?
Yes. It was very hard mentally and physically. And we was in Jordan and I trained for it. I was fit, but it was so mentally tough. Mm. It was the longest I've ever been away from Sunday. And I didn't have Finty at the time, but I was away from her for 19 days.
Whoa. Okay.
She doesn't remember it. She just turned 4. And this is out there in the press, so I can say it, but I missed her 4th birthday. Mm. And people would be like, well, why did you do it then? But I was like, this is such an amazing opportunity. And these shows don't come up very often. And I just felt like if it was the real deal, there's lots of parents that do have to miss out on their children's birthdays. Yeah. But yeah, again, it goes back to that, like having a point to prove and really wanted to test myself. But every day it was a mental battle where I cried and I was like, why have I left my daughter? Like, what have I done? I feel like the worst mum in the world. And I had a mental battle every single day. And how I got through that time was because I sucked at the beginning. I was so bad. Even the DSs were like, how is she still here? I was like a cockroach. I just never gave up and was eternal.
But so bad, you mean like at the physical challenges?
Oh, it was really hard because you're hungry, you're tired, and everyone is different and individual. So what might make you tick or your weakness might be completely different to mine. So someone's might be letting the rest of their recruits down and then they'll pick that, pick. Like for me, it's that praise thing that they are, as soon as I do something good, they don't care. There's never any moment where it's like, you done good. So you have to dig deep and find strength where you are being your biggest cheerleader to carry on. And the only way I got through, because I feel like I'm quite an impulsive person where I'm like all in, whereas this just felt such a mammoth task. One of my other fellow recruits was like, how do you eat an elephant bit by bit? Right. And I loved that quote so much because I was like, okay, just get through to the next morning, just get through the next hour, just get through to the next day. And I just took it bit by bit. And I learned a lot in that process that it doesn't have to be this like huge mammoth task, break it down and just get through step by step. Mm. And that was just an amazing process for me.
Yeah. It's such an amazing opportunity to go on something like that and learn all of the lessons that you learned. But I wondered, how is it doing that on TV? Like, are you aware that it's a show and that people are watching?
Yes and no.
Because it's very personal. It is discovering those things about yourself, and I can imagine it's so rewarding. But are you aware that you're kind of sharing that with the public?
I think that with these type of shows, whether it's SAS, Jungle, albeit different, you do forget about the cameras. Mm. You really do, because you're either sleep deprived or you want to connect with people and just find comfort in something that is completely unique and completely out of your comfort zone. So you do let the guard down and forget about the cameras. And with SAS, you're sleep deprived, you're hungry. But for me, I'm someone who wears my heart on my sleeve, and I've never really held back or wanted to self-edit. My whole reality show was on the basis that it was, I hate this when someone's like, I'm so real. I'm so humble and so real. No, but I just feel like it's warts and all.
Yeah.
My reality show is like, this is how it is. I'm not going to hide anything from you. And that's how you build trust and build relationship. Yeah. And it's the same with social media. Mm. If you show up as your true authentic self, then people are going to connect with you.
Yeah.
And not that that's like a game plan or anything. That's just how I am in life, meeting people. I think that's just how I've been on the shows.
Yeah. We're going to pause there and talk about the most important question of the day. Fern, what is your favourite sandwich?
This question has been living in my head rent-free. And it's like a lot of pressure.
Yeah, it is.
And I don't want to say something that's obvious. Like, I do love a classic egg mayo. Mm. Has to be curried. So like adding a little bit of curry powder. I do love a great Christmas sandwich, but I'm going to tell you something that I made this week.
Okay.
That I think is going to be surprising. I had a bagel. It was an American bagel, toasted with salted butter, with thick cream cheese, yes. Marmite, and the Marmite salted butter and cream cheese makes its own yummy, delicious spread with crispy bacon. And it was warm. It's so random, so rogue, but try it.
I will.
Because, you know, like, I love Marmite and cheese sausage rolls.
Yes.
Or like a cheese and Marmite toasty.
Yeah, or Marmite spaghetti with cheese.
Oh, yum. Yeah, yummy.
That's very good. I'm a big fan that you said butter and cream cheese. Like, why would you not have butter? I don't understand.
No, that's like the primer.
Yes.
Like, you need that.
So do you have butter and peanut butter?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hands just down.
Always have butter.
It offends my seven-year-old and I'm like, babe.
No.
It's too dry.
She needs to get on board.
I want it to be dripping out onto my plate.
And when you bite into it, it could kind of be cheese, like it's leaving teeth marks.
I would have butter as a slice of cheese.
Yes.
With bread, warm focaccia, a slice of butter, like it is a slice of cheddar with extra salt. Sorry if that offends you, but more salt.
That doesn't offend me.
Okay,
that makes me like you even more.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Your next challenge is that you're currently preparing to go on the upcoming season of Dancing on Ice. Have you ever skated before?
No.
I mean, that's like the biggest challenge you could undertake, I think. Ugh, ice skating.
Yeah, I thought SAS was hard. I thought giving birth was painful, but they're all different challenges. This has been so frustrating because it's like learning a new language. You can either speak French or you can't.
Yeah.
I can't, by the way. You can either ice skate or you can't. And
did you do it as a child?
Well, yeah, but I actually had an ice skating injury. Very quickly, in a nutshell, some boy at an ice skating party was like lifting his ice skate up. It went in my leg and I had to have stitches. Yeah. I was about eight years old.
That's like my worst nightmare.
It didn't put me off.
It's very dangerous.
Very dangerous. There is an absolute risk to it. You're on frozen water on a thin blade.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? It has been challenging, but now I am loving it. I am absolutely loving it. It's so fun, and I've not even scratched the surface because the lives are, you know, upcoming and all the glitz and glam, and it's been amazing, but it has been challenging learning a new skill.
Are you very coordinated? Like, if it wasn't on ice, would you be good at the dance element? Because it's like two separate things, isn't
so
it?
So true.
It's
like, am I coordinated? Imagine if I'm like, yes, I am very.
And then we see you on the screens. I'm like, fun.
No, you said you was very coordinated. I feel like I can dance.
Yeah.
But it is more technical. It's scary. And I think as adults, you're more fearful. Whereas you see kids on the ice and they're just going for it.
Yeah. Have you had any bad falls?
I fell on my first day and I cried. Yeah. I just couldn't control the tears. I was shocked, embarrassed. It hurt. Fortunately, no accidents so far.
Okay, that's good.
So yeah, wish me luck.
I am.
Because I am nervous right about the lives.
You. No, it's going to be so good. Like, how many hours of training do you have to do a day?
So you do 2 hours a day, Monday to Friday.
Okay.
And then come the lives, it's 6 days a week.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I'm very excited to see. We're going to talk about the fifth Desert Island dish. What's the dish you eat the most often?
Okay, so at the moment, I'm eating a lot of steak because my fiancé is, he's just one of them that is like, oh, I want to try the carnivore. I want to try the animal-based diet. He just loves steak. He loves meat and he's cooking it, so I'm just eating it. But I like to pimp it up because he doesn't have any sides and I love vegetables. So I will be adding like a burnt butter fried egg with sage, or like whisk up some pesto and parmesan beans, or like some nice buttery cabbage. I love a side, and I just feel like I don't like having it just by itself. I always want to accompany it with something. I made something really delicious the other day and I feel like I don't want to gatekeep it. It's nothing like insane, but it tasted unbelievable.
What was it?
Anchovies. Not the marinated ones, the vinegary ones, the ones that are just in a jar.
Yes.
So obviously, you know, the viral confit garlic where it goes all like,
Yeah.
Delicious, loads of oil in the oven. To be honest, I haven't got time for that. So I'm just popping them in individually, the garlic cloves, in oil, confying, don't think that's a word, but making them go soft, delicious. Then I am popping them in a pestle and mortar with anchovies, and it makes that anchovy paste.
Yum.
Salted butter on top of a steak.
Yeah, that sounds
delish. Rude. Or on bread.
Yeah. A flavoured butter is so underrated.
So true.
Yeah. One of the latest things you've launched is shura. But do you say shura or shura?
Shura. So it's like hurrah. Mm. Gives you that joyous feeling.
Ah, I love that. So it's a mental health and well-being app. And I know that you've been very open when talking about your own mental health and the struggles that you've personally faced over the years. Do you think those struggles that you've faced yourself have been related to social media and the world that we're living in now?
I think that's definitely played a part. But I think when you find yourself in a dark place, it can be a lot of things mounting up to like that big feeling of just feeling really, really low. And I've experienced that in my life a few times. Mm. I have always looked for alternative therapies and like more of a holistic approach. And I think that we can tap into just this power that we have inside of us of like calming our nervous system. And it's all going to be different. We're all going to have different tools that are going to work for us. I've had therapy for such a long time and I felt like it wasn't accessible to everyone. And what I've learned and the tools that had worked for me and then meeting my partner, we actually bonded over our trauma.
Oh, did you?
Which is not what you talk about on a first date, but I just wanted to like lay all my cards out on the table and was like, take it or leave it, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of the best way to be.
Yeah, exactly. And we had very different experiences and sort of merged what had worked for us and created this incredible app that I'm super, super proud of. But yeah, social media has played a part of it. I think something's just come to my mind about social media and these glasses, right?
Yeah.
I posted a story yesterday. I had no makeup on. I was on the ice and I was just chatting with these glasses on, right? And I had a few comments where people were like, those glasses don't suit you.
Oh no, I've been thinking this whole time, those glasses are so cool.
Yeah. I wasn't fishing for a compliment, but thank you so much.
I know you weren't, I have been thinking
I needed that. Thank you. Because actually, despite being in this industry for so long, and yes, I've grown a thick skin, I don't read the comments, but sometimes you do catch the odd comment, even though you can turn a blind eye. And I'm like, that's made me feel really rubbish because, and I deleted the story and I never normally do that.
No.
And I just felt really rubbish. And then I thought about it and I thought, and it's the same with The Only Way is Essex, is people are not always doing it. I know we say hurt people hurt people. Mm. I don't get it why you would want to tell that person a negative thing knowing that it's going to make them feel rubbish. But I thought to myself, well, I would tell my partner or a really close friend that, maybe not a close friend, actually, I probably wouldn't, but I would definitely with my fiance, I'd be like, no problem.
Yeah.
Them glasses don't suit you. Get them off. You look weird. No. And I actually enjoy telling him. No, I'm joking. But I feel close to him that I can. So I'm like, maybe these people are trying to do me a favor. Maybe they actually feel close to me that they feel that they can say those things. And going back to The Only Way is Essex or a show, people want to be involved in the conversation. But I think sometimes social media gets a bad rap for trolling. And look, like there's no place for being unkind. But I think that I've got a love and hate relationship with social media. But I think if you look at it in the positive sense that there are communities on there and I welcome the trolls. I'm like, what do you think?
Yeah.
You know, throw it back to them. So yeah.
You're right. Like obviously social media has brought loads of amazing things and there are so many opportunities and the chance to meet people and build communities and all of that. But I suppose it has opened us up to the possibility of random strangers to tell you that they don't like your glasses, which 20 years ago, that's just not something you would ever have had to think about. And I do think it must be having an extreme effect on everybody's mental health. We're living in a completely new time, aren't we?
It's like an experiment. And I do fear for our children, especially my girls. I've got a great hack. And it's called Hidden Words on Instagram, and you can hide certain words so you don't have to see it. So it doesn't show up on your social media. And I think
So if someone leaves a horrible comment, but it includes a word,
you can add swear words. Or I used to always get, people always used to call me Jar Jar Binks and Big Nose. I have had a nose job. That is out there too. Jar Jar Binks and Big Nose. Is it a Star Wars character?
I don't know.
It was hurtful. So I'd like hidden certain words that popped up. So mean, especially when it's like about your appearance, because you're like, it's hurtful. But yeah, I think, I don't know. It seems to be like calming down with trolling.
Yeah, it does.
Do you get it?
Yeah, I get really mean comments.
No, you do not, because your content's so lovely.
Oh, thank you, Fern, but no, people are really mean.
Are they?
Yeah.
What on earth could anyone say to you?
Oh, like loads of stuff. we don't have to go into it.
Because it is hard.
It's just annoying how that one horrible comment just ruin your whole day.
So true.
And I know it's so silly, because who are they and you don't know who they are, and there's lots of nice stuff, and that's the most annoying thing for me, is that it affects you.
I think being public and being an influencer, or just being on social media, it takes courage, because you're exposing yourself. And when someone says something nasty, especially if you're creating something, like with my show or your recipes, my show, we're opening the doors to, letting people in on our personal private life. But also we're creating something. It's lots of hours that have gone into that show. And it's hurtful when people are like, it's rubbish anyways. Didn't watch it. The last series of your show bombed. And I'm like,
what?
Only a few comments. Obviously, a lot of people loved it. I'm trying to justify it now. But it's hurtful.
Yeah. You're just trying to do something positive, and that's not going to be for everyone. But I don't know when we got to a place where they have to tell you that it's not for them. We're on to happier subjects. Yes. The sixth desert island dish. What's your go-to dinner party dish?
So I love throwing dinner parties, and I never really cook, apart from a roast, I never tend to cook the same thing. They're always variations of. Okay. So it really depends on the time of year.
Yeah.
And it massively depends who is coming round.
Okay.
And what I love to do is hold my guests in mind. Of course, they're going to be friends and family, but I'm cooking for them. And I sort of theme it, whether we've had like a memory, or we've been somewhere, or we've holidayed together. And I just like to theme it around them.
That's so nice.
Thank you. It's always, and I plan my menu. Like, I take great pleasure in, it's a full day thing. In fact, I'm thinking about it the day before. I'm thinking about it the whole week, planning my menu, changing it, loving social media, Pinterest, Instagram, taking inspiration. It really varies. It could be like a summer roast, or like a barbecue with lots of delicious salads. I love, I cook this all the time. Mm. It's a roasted beetroot and orange salad. Oh. And it just sings, because the dressing is loads of orange zest with dill and vinegar and olive oil, salt. And it's just so beautiful, crumbled feta. I think that if you've got fresh herbs and just pantry seeds and nuts, they just lift any salad. So
that sounds gorgeous.
I'm gonna go with that.
Yeah,
because I could be here talking about dinner party dishes all day.
Are you a pudding person?
Oh no,
you're not.
No, okay. I'm so sorry.
No, you don't have to be sorry.
There's been many times where I have delivered dessert.
Okay.
And I feel like that's really shameful.
It's not.
Or I get to the end and
what would you deliver? Ice cream.
Strawberries and cream.
Okay.
Like, I don't know what to do. I'm not very good at the science of baking. Mm. The first time I ever baked anything was on Best Home Cook.
Really?
Yeah, and that was a breakup cake. You had to theme a cake. What? It was so random. I made this amazing. Everything that you would want when you're going through a breakup.
Okay.
So there was pink champagne frosting, cream cheese icing, and chocolate and popcorn because you just want to be watching chick flicks. And they loved it. They absolutely, yeah. they loved it. And it actually tasted really good. But I had someone who, a brilliant baker who has made cakes for my children over the years. He come round and taught me how to bake a cake because I didn't know. I really don't like the preciseness of, I love following recipes, but starters or main meals or nibbles, I don't like doing desserts.
Yeah, I think that's quite a common thing. Also, if you don't love eating them, you're sort of less incentivized to make them.
Yeah, much rather have a starter and main than...
I think that's fair enough.
Yeah.
On Desert Island Dishes, we have a cookbook corner. So I'd love to know, what is your most treasured cookbook?
Yes, I absolutely love Julius Roberts, The Farm Table. Oh, just everything that he posts on social media. I'm like, oh, I've got them ingredients and it's just fresh and seasonal. I love Ottolenghi Simple, A, because it looks great on my kitchen side, the aesthetics, but also just really easy. Mm. And because I've got the dishing book, which I'm not knocking it, but that took me like a week, one of those recipes to make. So amazing, but... Ottolenghi, there's a recipe that I make all the time, whether I'm making fish or anything. It's crushed courgettes with roasted garlic and mint, and it's really good.
Oh, that sounds great.
It's just so delicious and simple, who's in the title. but then I've got this really old Delia Smith book, and I remember when I just started learning to cook, it's really thick. I can't remember. I think it's like the ultimate. It's called something like that. But it's something, a cookbook that my mum had for years and she gave to me. I was so surprised when I started learning and experimenting with food when I moved out of my mum's. Everything that I wanted to cook was in this book. And I was like, oh my God. Like, what? This is like an encyclopedia. So
it's the Bible.
It is. It's a Bible. So, yeah.
Yeah. Those are great options. Right. Well, on to the final seventh desert island dish. What is the last dish you would choose to eat before being cast off to the desert island?
I can't believe I am saying this.
Okay.
But this is my most watched videos. I'm like gulping because I am salivating. They just come up on my discovery like all the time, and done right, it is just unreal. It's a smashed burger.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I know, I feel like, no, I'm going to back it.
Yeah.
Why am I doubting myself?
No, don't. That's a great choice.
A smashed burger, but I want a trio. So I want a classic, two patties with like your... raw chopped onion with gherkins, a banging burger sauce, that fake cheese, and a little squeeze of mustard and a little squeeze of ketchup. So that's one. Then I want like a trendy burger. Mm. Oh, they've all got to be in the... Sorry, what is wrong with me? I'm getting hungry. They've all got to be in them really squidgy brioche buns wrapped in foil. So everything's like melting, giving like sloppy, falling on the table vibes. A trendy burger is the second option. It's going to have something with like a peanut butter in it. Mm, and then the third one is going to have some sort of onion chili chutney with a blue cheese. It's got to be a beef mince patty. It can't be... Like, I'm all for a veggie burger. Actually, I'm not, I'll be honest. I don't know why. I'm just trying to, like, be kind.
Your desert island dish. You can have anything you want. I don't know. Why? You're a very selfless person.
The trio, all beef.
Are you having chips?
No.
Okay, it's just the burgers.
It's just the burger. But I want, like, lots of sauces. I want a truffle mayo.
Yes.
I want extra... burger sauce.
Okay.
I want extra gherkins.
We'll make it happen. With that, Fern, we're going to send you off to the desert island. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
So there we have it. Another delicious day of desert island dishes. Don't forget to follow the show wherever you're listening so you never miss an episode. And if you don't already, come and follow me on Instagram at Desert Island Dishes. And you can sign up for the newsletter and find a whole host of different recipes at desertislanddishes.co. Thank you so much for listening. See you next week. Bye.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.